You see, Candace Owens literally is talking about astral projection. It's a 2-minute clip, and she goes, Charlie Kirk would make the lights flicker when he walked in the room, and we both went to these weird schools for psychics and took these weird tests to test our psychic abilities, and we both astral projected, and it came easily to us. You bitch, you astral projected? Like, what? It's just like astrology now. It's just turning into, like, astrology for right-wingers. How fucking stupid do you have to be? It's just, like, insane to me how Charlie Kirk was just a Republican shill. That's all he was. He was not a time traveler. He was not a martyr for Hitler. It's actually depressing. I'll show you the clip. Even look at her face. Look at her stupid bitch face. You can literally see it in her eyes that she is a stupid bitch. It's written all over her face. It's mad. Like these eyes that are very knowing.
They hate each other.
Hollow. Eyes are the window to the soul. And you could see in her eyes the way that she's making this expression, that she's very confident, but also complete fucking idiot. You can see in her eyes that she's like smug. She's confident, but also nobody's home. Lights on, nobody's home.
See, we have this in common too. I hate smug, fine, stupid, fine, smug and stupid. That just triggers the fuck out of me.
You can literally see it in her face. All right, but let's play the clip.
Charlie and I spoke a lot about his third eye. That's what.
His third eye? Look at her whole demeanor.
A lot about his third eye.
We spoke a lot about his third eye? Bitch, that's insane. He does not have a... Charlie Kirk had a third eye? Dude, he was like a mega church Republican shill, his third fucking eye. Like he was in India. Yeah, somehow I don't think Charlie was like an expert on non-dualism and Eastern mysticism.
Is she actually schizophrenic? No. Candace is one of the very rare actual line grifters. 100%. Actual line grifter.
Sentence caught my attention in the article. He spoke about the street lamps that would go off when he would run, about the special school that he had to go to. He spoke about lots of things that were strange in our childhood, the testing that both of us had to endure.
What testing? Dude, it's like somebody went...
For their mutant powers! They had to see Xavier. He rolled on in to see if they could actually do anything special.
To Candace Owens and said, bend the spoon. Like, yeah, what are you exactly. About, you crazy bitch.
Do you think Tucker pretends to be a schizo or is real? No, Tucker is also real and he's just grifting. You have this like, remember what I said before? You have like the political conversations and then behind the scenes people know what's going on. Okay. This is, you have your like, I don't know if you call them like your tier one broadcasters. But these are people who are on your mainstream media people or your big like alt media people. Well, I say alt media, but like Tucker was mainstream first. I don't know if Candace was ever mainstream, if Daily Wire would be considered alternative media. But like these are people that they lie to you, but they know that they're lying. They are fully aware of it. You can tell by the way that Candace is evasive in questions when it comes to her talking to journalists. Fuck, you know, I just thought of another way that you could... These are the types of people. These are the types of people, okay, that will say they'll be anti-vax and anti-school, and their children will be fully vaccinated and they will go to Yale, okay? Now, it used to just be that these people were infecting the populace, okay? But these people also gave rise to a new era of like tier two. Media pundits. And these people, I think they actually bought the bullshit and they didn't realize that it was bullshit. So you get people like Pearl. I think she believes her shit. She's fucking retarded. She is. I've talked to her personally. She's fucking retarded. We went to eat dinner afterwards. She's fucking retarded. People like Scott Adams. This fucking retarded his way into an early grave. This guy went for ivermectin treatment for his fucking cancer. Okay. These people are actual retards. And it's nice because these guys were so good at playing retarded that they convinced these people that they were actually retarded. And then these people who are actually retarded are also making these people even more retarded. But whereas on your tier one media people, your Candace Owens and your Tucker Carlsons, these are your anti-vax, anti-school people who are sending their children fully vaccinated to Yale. These people are anti-vax, anti-school, and they're actually dying from vaccine-preventable diseases, and they're not having kids, or they're telling them to some retarded fucking bullshit or whatever. Actually, they'll probably still send their kids to good school, because they haven't fully bought on that bullshit yet. But then you have the populace who are believing in anti-vax and anti-school, and they're not even sending their kids to college, or they're trying to fucking separate from everything, and these are the ones that are getting super mind-fucked. Maybe at some point you'll get, like, your tier three media retards. I guess you kind of do that. The smaller ones, like that Patriot guy or whatever that I talked to. I see him pop up on Twitter every now and then. But yeah, this, you have your retard media people who actually bought the bullshit and they didn't realize that this was all a game. Where does Rogan lie? I think Rogan, unfortunately, I say unfortunately, I don't know, maybe it's better because the morally evil people are definitely more the tier ones. I think Rogan is somewhere, I think he was tier one-ish And then he migrated over to tier two. I think Rogan might genuinely believe the retarded shit that he says, unfortunately, because the way that I see him answer questions and navigate it, Candace is very clever. Candace is very, you know what, actually, maybe I would characterize, it might be an IQ gap. These people, what's the saying? It takes a truly intelligent mind to consider an idea without fully embracing it. Your tier one people are your, these are your 120 plus IQ people. Okay. Whatever you say about her, I don't give a fuck. Candace Owens is a very intelligent woman. Tucker Carlson is a very intelligent man. These are very intelligent people. They're very strategic. They answer questions in a particular way. If they're trying to be evasive, they know what they're doing. These are very intelligent people, the way that they navigate the media environment. Your tier twos, these are not smart people. They're not. These are your 95 to 105 strictly average people. Maybe barely above, barely below. These are your strictly average, whatever people. And Joe Rogan, it seems like he just fits more in here. I don't know why. I don't know. He's just so brain broken on everything. Yeah. Then you have your tier zero people. These are your 200 IQ plus. These are DGGers. Okay. That's us, guys. Good job.
I was astral projecting. I was in another place. I was bilocating. People go, wait, what are you talking about? Oh, you don't do that? That's weird. It's so easy for me. I astral project all the time. It comes very easily to me. You know, me and Charlie Kirk were like, wait, you guys aren't astral projecting? They went to their Blexit meeting. So Candace Owens and Charlie Kirk walked into their Blexit.
What do you place people like Bannon? Bannon is absolutely tier one. He actually believes in an authoritarian regime because he wants it. But that's like an ideological political thing for him. But he's a smart person. He doesn't. He knows. I'm sorry. You could see it leaked. You could see it leaked when he was talking to the Chinese media people or whatever about the Trump shit. When he was like, you know, Trump almost fucking died from COVID, right? And this anti-vax shit that Trump is pushing when your voter base is old and they're dying from COVID is fucking retarded. Trump needs to not do this. Bannon is very strategic. He's an intelligent guy.
Exit fundraiser. That's black exit from the Democratic Party. And we were sitting there talking about, hey, so I was astral projecting. Charlie was nodding along. But we noticed everyone at the table was dumbstruck. They had no idea what we're...
What about Alex Jones? Listen, Alex Jones... He's a tier one guy, unfortunately. He doesn't believe any of it. I don't think he's necessarily that smart, but he definitely doesn't believe it. He would go in the tier one category, but he's not like a very smart, but he would go in the tier one category for sure. He doesn't believe that bullshit.
Talking about, we looked at each other. We said, wait, you don't astral project? That's weird. We do it naturally all the time. Yeah, Charlie Kirk and Candace Owens astral projecting. Are you kidding me? What else is there even to say about that?
What about Hassan? Hassan would be, it's harder to, if I think on the left, I don't know if the same media thing would appear, but he would be a tier one person. He doesn't believe in the bullshit. Hassan would never, ever live in or move to or be a part of like a socialist communist environment. That guy lives is fully. I'm a little bit ashamed sometimes at how much more of a capitalist Hassan is than I am. Yeah. Don't know if you saw this, but this is what broke Joe Rogan's brain. If it's what I think it is, it says this fact check is the reason Joe Rogan lost all trust. Is it the horse paste thing or is it the coloring of his face thing? Hold on. You know what? I bet this was an HDR problem. They did the color conversion incorrectly. What tier is Taylor Lorenz? Taylor Lorenz is absolutely tier one. I don't know how I can tell you this. I just have the vibe for it. She is so meticulous in the way that she navigates these environments. She doesn't believe any of the bullshit she says. She's absolutely a liar. She is very, very, very meticulous in the types of lies that she curates and pushes. 100%. What about Fuentes? Well, Fuentes, people like me and Fuentes don't map on as much because I think that people like us would be more genuine. Since we're outside of political movements, we don't have to be as beholden to that political movement. Well, Fuentes is kind of because he has his own political movement. But like, I can say whatever the fuck I want. I don't have to do any like misrepresenting a public or private position to stay on somebody's good side. I don't need to do that. Same thing with Nick Wooden either. I'm trying to think of who else. It's kind of hard to be on your own on an island. I'm sure if I thought about it, there's somebody else. Oh, Vosh is kind of his own thing. Yeah. What the fuck was this?
Fuck farmers. If you're a farmer, you're probably retarded. Jesus. Farmers got fucked by tariffs during the first Trump administration.
True. They did.
Then what did they do?
Voted again.
They voted for the same guy who was saying he was going to do even more tariffs.
True.
And then what happens when they get ducked again? They want a bailout. Half these retards wouldn't be in business without government subsidies. But what do they constantly bitch about? Yeah, that's right. The government.
What tier is Blair White? Blair White is the tier one. I think she knows a lot of it is bullshit. Which one is Lauren Southern? I feel like Lauren was a tier two in the beginning. I think it probably depends on the age you get picked up in. But I think Lauren moved more to a tier one, like understood more of the, like a lot of this is bullshit. But I think she started, like that first video she did holding the sign, I'm pretty sure she was like 19 in that video.
They get butthurt about environmental regulations. But that's only because they're butthurt about not being able to pollute streams and rivers with pesticides. God forbid they think of anyone but themselves. They constantly bitch about how family farms are going out of business and feel entitled to hundreds of acres they inherited from daddy and can't make productive enough to compete. Wow.
I don't think your positions are all that outside of anything. I think your strategy and demeanor is. There are some positions I have that are pretty not in line with the Democrats. I don't necessarily mean that your positions don't align cleanly with other people. I mean, what is the pressure you feel to toe a particular line? Like, I don't feel like I'm not an officially supported DCCC Democratic establishment backed candidate. And I have to be like, oh, fuck, like the Democrats are doing some shit that I don't really support. And now I got to figure out how to like message. Like, I don't ever. It's just I see a thing and I give my take on it. You know, I don't have to worry about like an organization or some other thing that is pressuring me or that I feel pressure from to be audience beholden or community or political movement beholden to. Most of my political beliefs right now are going to align pretty cleanly with like the broad Democratic Party consensus. Yeah. When you argue with Lauren Southern, do you think she's lying about her positions? Not anymore. No. Or I don't know. I don't know if she ever lied about her positions. I feel like she was always genuine. But I think when she was younger, I would say there's probably more. You're just kind of like buying into the stuff that the upper people are kind of selling you, right?
I feel so sorry you have millions of dollars of land you could just sell at any moment and use to live off the interest, but instead you want to drive a tractor in circles until you fucking die. I hope Tyson buys up every single acre and you have to move to a city and learn to code. Jesus. Fuck farmers and fuck you.
I didn't watch any football stuff, halftime stuff. I managed to avoid all of it yesterday. I'm so proud of myself. Yes! Although I will say, as somebody who doesn't give a fuck about any of it, if I was watching the game with friends or family and somebody said we have to switch the halftime show to the TPUSA halftime show, that might be the end for me. I might jump. I don't think I could live in that world where I would know that the people around me were those kinds of people. I don't think I could do it. And the TPUSA one was pre-recorded, was it? Like, it's actually so cringe. Like, how far can they push it? These people have absolutely no limiting principle on anything. They'll just get as extreme and as... I guess I have, like, respect a little bit for, like, the crazy wokey losers in the back in the day. It was, like, cultural appropriation. It was, like, they got wacky, but it took them a while to get there. And they got pretty wacky. But did they get that wacky with that many people? I don't know. These guys are getting real... wacky. And then I think Trump, I saw a post this morning, like Trump didn't even watch it.
Oh no.
Purposefully turning off the halftime show. Let's rally together and show big corporations they can't just do whatever they want without consequences. Now let's go watch TPUSA, not sponsored by any. Oh wait, what did I see on my subreddit? The fucking ads or whatever? Holy shit. Fuck. Oh, it was this. Oh my God. It's like so on. This is like, I know I said this a year ago, but like it applies even more and it will like. It's like beyond satire, like shit that you would see in The Boys or whatever that would just be cringe because it's like, this is so over the top. We get it. They're bad guys. Like what's, oh my God. If you go back to watch The Boys season one, I don't even know if, I'm not sure looking retrospectively, if like somebody 20 years from now could tell that that's satire. I don't know what they would think. They're just like, oh, that's just showing the current admin or whatever, or it's showing the current, like, I don't know if people would even perceive like, oh, they were satirizing people. Cause it's like, I don't even know if the first season of The Boys is further than where the Republican movement is at right now.
Faith, family, freedom. The All-American Halftime Show continues right now.
Hey folks, it's your friend John Rich. I co-founded Old Glory Bank because we heard too many stories about people getting canceled by their bank because they didn't agree with their politics.
Really?
The government wanted to know where you shopped. If you bought a Bible or you shopped at a sporting goods store, you're probably on a list. We created Old Glory Bank because
really?
America needed a bank that would protect their privacy and security. Exercising your constitutional rights is not a criminal activity, and neither is loving your country. At Old Glory Bank, we stand with you.
President Trump delivered on his promise to pardon January 6th defendants, but there are still 12 whose fights are far from over.
Really?
Even though they've had their sentences commuted, they still cannot vote, possess firearms, receive military pensions and retirement benefits, obtain health care coverage, or secure employment.
What, because they're felons?
In the Gap is renewing our justice restoration.
Why would this be J6support.com? Shouldn't you just be supporting an initiative to like let it so felons can vote? Or is this about something different?
Fun to advocate for full pardons for these patriots. Please visit J6support.com or scan the QR code to support our fight for justice. Scan the QR code or visit J6support.com to make a tax-deductible donation.
To be fair, some of the actual ads for the Super Bowl were ass too. They had an AI jump scare right after the halftime show. Bro, that's it. That's on a different level. Like, yeah, the AI shit is cringe, but like, this is like political cringe. This is like crazy cringe. Okay. Oh no! Maybe at some point they turned on the TPUSA one.
My sister's name was Denise. She died of obesity at 25. She had a heart attack.
I'm sorry. What? Okay, sorry. I'm back.
Heart attack. I was so fat and nasty. I would eat anything. I was like 345 pounds. A quart of ice cream every hour. I had so much self-hate when I was like that. I just wanted to kill myself. We're the most powerful country in the world, and we have the most obese, fudgy people. Something has to be done about processed food in this country.
Oh, okay.
My sister.
It's so. What actually killed his sister? I'm just curious. Why'd you laugh? Because.
The name was Denise. She died of obesity at 25.
She died She must have some crazy pre-existing condition. Something insane was going on for her to die at 25. But the annoying thing about this is that like it's not like the worst idea. Like over processed or ultra processed foods or super processed foods are things that we should pay more attention to. But my God, it's wrapped in so much retardation, and all these people just come from such a bad, horrible fucking place. Ugh. Remember, Fuentes is a little bit similar to me in that he has his like, own political movement. Well, I don't really have a political movement. I just have my streamer talk about shit, thankfully. Or there's pros and cons. But like Nick has a little bit more freedom to navigate like his genuine political beliefs versus people who are kind of bought into the system. So it's funny to watch him react to shit sometimes. I can't lie, the TPUSA halftime thing and what it says about the state of the opposition to global homo or race, communism, or Zog or whatever is so depressing. There is just nothing inspiring or attractive about what the white right has to offer in its current form. Kid Rock again, ugh. Imagine being with a hose or any normal person and shutting out at halftime because of Spanish and switching over to Rumble to watch Kid Rock. Like, I think I'd rather die. I'll take the Spanish at this point. A mercy. Yes. It's kind of like you're seeing a hyper-accelerated version of when conservatives used to complain about, like, losing Hollywood and losing the culture war. I feel like I had these debates with, it was like back in 2016, 2018, where conservatives basically, what they do is they unplug from everything. I don't want to go to I don't want to be professors, or I don't want to be in these liberal institutions. I don't want to be in Hollywood. I don't want to be in the arts. I don't want to do this. This is all gay liberal shit. And then they're like, why is it that everybody in the arts and all the institutions, all these people are ran by gay liberals? And it's like, well, because you stop participating in all of them. And you're seeing that, I think, in a like a hype, well, I want to say hyper accelerated, but not really, I guess. It's been a process that's like decades and decades in the making. When you withdraw from everything, not only do you lose control of those areas, you also don't have any of your own talent to draw from to contribute to your areas, right? So they don't have the competent people to run the government. If they wanted to do a fascist administration, which Trump would want to do, he doesn't even have the talent for it. They don't even know how to make it work. Or if you want to have your own culture, if you want to have like a culture war, you can't even do it because you don't even have cultured people. You don't know what the fuck, where to even start. You have Kid Rock. You have Kid Rock. You're selecting for the worst. You're selecting for the worst genetic stock on every level, the worst cultured people, the least educated people, the lowest IQ people, the least competent people. And then you're taking this basket of deplorables and you're like, okay, we're going to make America again, but with hookers and cocaine or whatever. And it's like, no, your America just sucks. Like, it's not even like, was the one guy, oh my God. The Wagner, was he actually a Nazi or did the Nazis just like his music? Like, at least like some of that shit I feel like had, like if you look at the Nazi like insignias and the logos and some of the art they tried to make, although I guess it probably wasn't that great. I think there's critiques on fascist art because I think a lot of them also excluded a lot of the newer artistic movements, but they weren't as fucking horrible and terrible as the Trump shit. Oh my God. Wagner was a Nazi? Okay. He was pre-Nazi, but he kind of had those views. Okay.
If the movement cannot accommodate people's goals in their lives, it will lose those people. For a movement to be successful, you need very talented people. To retain very talented people, the movement has to be a vehicle for them to accomplish their other goals, which might be to get married, which might be...
One thing that Nick has to figure out if they want the, if they want like the Groyper shit to be more successful, and I don't know, maybe this is too built into the movement so they can't, but I feel like they have to lose the woman-hating thing. They have to figure out how to incorporate... They have to figure out how to incorporate women into their movement without literally hating them or thinking they're worthless. It's too. It's you're losing half the population, and this is like your most like politically active types of people. You know,
to make a good living, which might be to get into an institution. And this was my argument with Arvel, because he came out here to Chicago, and we had this big debate. We wanted to start a school, which would teach our young people. And in my mind, I was thinking we'll do a 2-week crash course, and we'll set them up with a job. That was my idea of a school. I said we'll rent out a hotel, a conference room. We'll do a course for 2 weeks. We'll give them the basics. We'll bring in the experts, teach them how to.
You literally told Fuentes exactly this point he's making now. Well, I think he's also figured it out independently too. Sorry.
Came out here to Chicago and we had this big debate. We wanted to start a school, which would teach our young people. And in my mind, I was thinking we'll do a 2-week crash course and we'll set them up with a job. That was my idea of a school. I said, we'll rent out a hotel, a conference room. We'll do a course for 2 weeks. We'll give them the basics. We'll bring in the experts, teach them how to operate in DC. I said, and then we'll take a small class of 10 people and we'll hook them up with a job in DC. We'll hook them up with a job in politics and then they can start on their career track. And Arvel said, no, I want to bring them out to my compound in Arkansas. And they're going to live in a cabin in the middle of nowhere up a dirt road. And, you know, it's going to be an all day thing for 2 years. We're going to be working out and eating, living off the land and learning Play-Doh. And I said, what kind of candidates do you expect to attract with this? An elite 18-year-old that can get into Harvard is not going to take a 2-year sabbatical to go and live with some influencer and do this thing. Like, it's not going to attract the right kind of person. I said, someone like that is going to be looking for something quick and dirty. They're going to meet their favorite.
Nick, I feel like Nick would have been a major political figure if he was born like 20 years earlier. The mask. For MAGA, like the mask has melted onto the face. It's that thing that I said before where you have these people, you have your pundit class and you've got your public facing politicians that put on the show for the public. But after they do that, they're supposed to go behind the scenes and then work together to get real shit done. But MAGA, for MAGA, like the performance is the reality and there's no separating the two. And it's just so obviously fucking stupid. It's so obviously stupid. Is Hassan good at it though? Hassan is good at the social media entertainment thing. Hassan doesn't want political power. The lefties and the tankies, your majority reports, these people don't want or care about political power. They're more like, they work in like entertainment, basically. I would say strictly entertainment.
Lab, get the skills, get the download, and then they're going to get an opportunity. I said, and we had this big argument about it. I said, look, if you're going to be naive about this, we're not going to attract the people that we need. And you can kind of dig in your heels and say, well, that violates the integrity of the process and we need to do it a certain way. I said, okay, but then you're not going to attract the right kind of people. And so I've always been a huge believer in, and people have criticized me for this over the years. I talk about
Is this me or do you have a, I hate this word. I always fuck it up. Is it macabre?
Macabre.
Macabre. Fuck you. A macabre and grotesque respect for Fuentes. I can analyze what I see. I mean, I respect that he has his own political mind. I think that his political ideology is no good, but I'm trying to think. I don't even know what the comparison would be. Like, imagine you have like a mortal enemy or some kind of rival in some arena, and it's you, him, and like 98% or 98 other people with like Down syndrome. I don't know. It's just like, yeah. Obviously, I disagree with all the political views that Nick has. I don't really want his movement to ever be successful, but like the current MAGA shit is just, it's just such a fucking joke. I'm sorry, like it's such a fucking joke. They don't know how to do anything. Bro, we just listened to two of their prosecutors in front of a judge beg to be held in contempt so they could get some sleep because their shit in Minnesota is like, these are the people who did a surge in Minnesota because, no offense, but a very clearly cognitively impaired kid made a retarded video about daycare centers that he was visiting too early in the morning, saying that they were defrauding the state. Like, these are, they're retards. These people are retarded. It's the party of actual retardation, of cognitive deficiency. It's insane to me.
Hiding your power level, optics, not doing street activism. If we want a long-term resilient movement, eventually the movement needs to become an institution that can connect people with their life goals. If it can't do that.
You have the same respect for Nick that you have for Charlie Kirk? A little bit. There's going to be ways that I see Nick as being more similar to me than Charlie Kirk, and that Nick is banned from a lot of platforms, but he has a high level of resiliency. Like, he seems to plan his stuff out pretty well in advance. I would still say, and I still maintain, that the Kanye thing was a huge fucking career mistake. So not good. But also, I don't know, if I was 24, 25 and I had the chance to work with Kanye, maybe I would throw everything away and jump on it too. I don't know. But you know.
You're going to keep people for a year when they're in that zealot phase. They have that zeal of the convert. You know, they're gassed up. Okay, I'm 19 and I'm idealistic and I'm ready to die for the white race. Okay, that guy's in it for 2 years and then says, I want to get laid now. I want to get married. I want to make some fucking money. All my friends are doing something. I'm this bum. You lose people that way. So,
do you have anybody on the left that you respect in the same way as Nick and Kirk? From the pundit world, there's not really people that are doing the same, trying to get movements and then trying to become politically effective. But the problem is the whole structure of the Democratic Party is different because, like, we have real people that can govern. Like, our party isn't continually being hijacked by insane movements every 10 years. Even though Republicans say that it is, it's not really. So you have, like, a stable political class that's capable of, like, enacting change and doing stuff legislatively in government. So I don't know if I don't even know if there'd be the same chance for that type of movement to grow, like the Tea Party did, you know? Yeah. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's an age thing. People just don't understand, like, the I don't want to call it the game of politics, like it's a trivial thing, like, oh, it's a game or whatever. Like, politics is important, and you have to do it correctly, and there's, like, a way to do it to gain more political power. But for everybody, people just think politics is, like, entertainment or a joke or whatever. And the people who are on the far left, the loudest ones, never seem interested in the actual game of politics. They're more interested in the game of social media. Neither of these things is inherently good or bad. It sucks that the game of social media gets masked as the game of politics, and then people don't know what's going on. So you look at, like, the Occupy Wall Street movement. What was the goal of that? I guess it kind of, I don't know if you could say, like, the Consumer Protection Financial Bureau or the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Maybe did that come from kind of the Occupy Wall Street movement? I guess. But I feel like so much more could have been achieved there if you actually knew what you wanted. But, like, if you talked to the majority of the people there, what do you guys want? Corporations to not be people. What the fuck does that mean? We want to get rid of super PACs. Okay, well, how do you want to figure out election funding? Like, nobody really had any ideas. It was just like a fucking random spasming, you know, heart not getting anything done. It was just like, nothing is happening. And then when you look at, yeah, and then same thing, obviously all the tankies and the lefties never pick popular candidates. They don't do anything electorally. When you look at the ultra wokies or progressives, they were more interested in culture oriented stuff. When you look at, like, the BLM shit, like, the BLM stuff had a wide fixation on national level politics, but, like, policing and everything is so much more local. You had weird slogans like abolish ICE and abolish the police. And it's like, I don't even know what you mean by these. Yeah, it just sucks. And then you get, like, the Tea Party. And, like, the Tea Party has specific movement leaders who also talk to highly politically activated bases. Like, you don't think Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh couldn't sway voters? These are very important people, I think. You had the Freedom Caucus, like, in government. How many politicians were in the Freedom Caucus? That basically came from the Tea Party, right? Am I right in saying that? They still have 31 seats in the House today, 31 out of 218. I thought you were saying abolish ICE not too long ago. It's different. It's different now. Yeah, the people on the right just seem so much more interested in... the people on the right just seem so much more interested in political power, and the people on the left are just doing social media things. It's just very fucking annoying. Can you explain the Tea Party for the Zoomers, please? I can give you my perspective growing up through it, but I don't know. Maybe if I were to read about it from a detached point of view, maybe it'd be different. But it basically felt like after the Bush War, so something really fucking terrible happened in the United States after the Iraq and Afghanistan invasion, and a sad day for America. We elected a black president. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to say that it was all racism. I'm sure that played into it a little bit. But the Iraq and Afghanistan war, like, we went from epic highs to epic lows pretty fast. We went from Bush landing on the aircraft carrier. We went from a whole country united after 9/11. We went from Rudy Giuliani being America's mayor. We went to invading Iraq. And I think, what was it, like 3 weeks? Deposing Saddam Hussein. We watched the statues fall. Everybody was hype as fuck. And then over the next few years, the rebuilding of Iraq is kind of a fucking disaster. Domestically, we're kind of just, like, sort of chugging along. And then you get the big financial crash that hits in 2007. And then you get Obama. So black president wants to do the ACA. Everybody's just fucking insanely ass paint on the Republican side. They spend 8 years kind of opposing him. And then you get this movement that starts to pop up. That's kind of sort of libertarian. Basically, they're just like, we want to spend less. It's this thing where Republicans are like, I want to spend less. 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 But it's always after they've spent a fuck ton of money and then the Democrat is in office. So this weird libertarian movement kind of pops up called like the Tea Party. Although I guess it would have been before that, because I think Sarah Palin, wasn't she like a Tea Party person that was McCain's VP in 2008? But you get this like Tea Party movement that pops up a little. So it would have been a little bit before Obama. You get this Tea Party movement that comes up. They're like libertarian, small government, less spending, strong borders. It's like the precursor to kind of MAGA shit. They end up having, there's like a Bachman. I don't know. There's a few politicians they support that get semi-popular. They get seats in the House. They do shit. And then that movement, I think, is very quickly kind of headed by or co-opted by like your big political people. Like Glenn Beck was huge at the time. I think Rush Limbaugh spoke positively of it quite a bit. The politicians on the Republican side started to cater more and more to them. And then I feel like the Tea Party eventually boiled over into there's a lot of obstruction from Obama and Congress and everything. And then I feel like the Tea Party eventually gave way to the MAGA movement, I think, yeah. I don't know, but I swear you're the only person who says 2007 is the year for the crisis, not 2008 or 2009. I thought it was 2007, 2008. Was it 2008, 2009? Global financial crisis. I thought 2008 was like TARP and the thing started in 2007. I could be wrong on that. I don't know. Okay, I'll call it 2008. Fuck you. It spiked sharply in, okay. Test spread indicator received credit risk. The financial system increased significantly during the crisis, sparked sharply in August 2007, remained volatile for a year, and spiked even higher in 2008, September, to reach a record 4.65% on October 10, 2008. Were you a Tea Party guy back then? For some reason, I distinctly remember thinking about the Tea Party the most when I was like a senior in high school, which would have been 2007. And I think I don't know if I would have identified as a Tea Partier, but I was definitely a strong libertarian at the time. That was when I was coming off of my like Ayn Rand phase, and I was like a big like Ron Paul supporter, abolish the Fed. We need to make our own gold-backed currency independent of the Federal Reserve's paper money, that type of shit.
The movement needs to be extremely practical and aware of that, and not, I think, get caught up. So that's kind of my long answer to that question.
I remember when Ron Paul was talking about creating like Liberty dollars or whatever. Does anybody remember this? Why do you think the libertarian movement only exists in NA and SA? What is SA? South America? North America and South America a little? I don't know. I don't even know if libertarians know what they are anymore. Is there an alternate universe where you never left the right and you were MAGA today? I would never, ever be MAGA. I would either be like a far, far right person, I think. Or maybe like a center left person. I think, yeah. I think you can make a stronger argument for like Christian nationalism or full-on like neo-Nazism. I think you can make better arguments for that than the MAGA shit. MAGA just doesn't work for anything. I mean, you can see it like fucking, it's like what was the spaceship called? Was it the Challenger? It just fucking fucked up. Jesus. Whatever movement I would be a part of, I just don't want to be, no, I just don't want to be with stupid people. I'm sorry. I just don't want to be with stupid people. Fuck me, dude. Or there might be a world, actually, I guess, I'm sorry, I forgot, there is like the Never Trumper Republicans. Maybe there's a world where I would have been that type of conservative. I don't know. The problem is there's a very core, like inseparable part of my personality that's like very much like the liberalism, like everybody should be able to choose to do what they want with their life and all that shit. So like, that seems to not jive with conservatism a lot. So, I don't know. What is this?
You did support the worst fiasco of this whole thing, right? The Greenland, the attempt at the Greenland seizure. So you believe America has to own Greenland for national defense?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Is there a single...
We watched this a long time ago, didn't we? I don't even remember what this is about.
Accredited international relations scholar, expert on the Arctic, national security analyst. Is there a single person that thinks this apart from like you and Trump and Scott Greer?
Everybody has said, all the experts have said this. First of all, I love this like... Am I arguing with Stephen Bunnell? Stephen Bunnell, are you on? Is this like a face swap? Where's the expert?
I know you love like Mearsheimer and all these guys. Uh-huh. Right? Mearsheimer said it's totally ludicrous. Like,
well, Mearsheimer's literally wrong about everything.
It's necessary to have like bases there, but I haven't heard anyone except Trump and Trump's cheerleaders said that America needs to actually own the territory.
Which experts? John Mearsheimer, Scott Ritter, Douglas McGregor, you know, the league of experts have been assembled. You know, they believe Israel's about to collapse. In their mind, Israel is getting their ass kicked by Hamas and Hezbollah. Like, Ukraine is, any day now, Ukraine is going to collapse and Russia's on their way to Odessa, right? And I think they're in fantasy land.
True.
interview with NBC News, President Trump took ownership of the current state of the economy, saying, "I'm very proud of it," he said. This comes as there is new polling showing that many voters are not as happy as the president with the way that things are going with said economy. CNN's chief data analyst Harry Enten is running the numbers on this, but also speaks to the changing nature of President Trump's base right now.
We need this guy covering the needle when the election happens. I don't know why. He either makes you feel real happy or he's super triggering.
Talk me through this.
Yeah, okay. So you know, if you know anything about Donald Trump, you know that he built his two presidential victories on winning voters without a college degree, while Donald Trump's base with non-college voters is absolutely collapsing. What are we talking about here? Well, why don't we just take a look? Voters without a college degree on Donald Trump. Look at this. Back in 2024, he won those voters over Kamala Harris by 14 points. You come over to this side of the screen. What's his net approval rating with him?
Oh, no.
He's underwater by 9 points. That's a 23-point switcheroo with his base of non-college voters. He is absolutely collapsing with the group of voters that helped put him into the White House, Kate.
Okay, so how are these non-college voters feeling about 2026?
Okay.
It's a hard question to answer, but do you think you would be pro-civil rights during the MLK era if you were born in a Republican family in the Deep South? I would be, not only would I be pro-civil rights, I would be a vegan pro-civil rights person, you know?
So, you know, you see this drop of 23 points, right, from plus 14 Trump to now he's underwater by 9 points. How is that impacting their views on how they're going to vote for Congress? Well, you see a similar story going on here, right? Take a look. In the 2024 election, Republicans won those voters, those non-college voters, by 13 points. Now they're just ahead by just 4 points. When you can count it on one hand, you know that you're in trouble if you're Donald John Trump and the Republicans.
They may disapprove of Trump, but on net, still vote Trump no matter what. Remember, though, it's not about if they'll vote Trump, and they will vote Trump. It's about will they actually go out to vote Trump? Or I shouldn't say they will vote Trump. They would vote Trump. But it's about discouraging the turnout, right? That they or depressing the turnout. They won't. They just won't go out and vote. How many people voted for Trump? 2024 election turnout. 2020 election turnout. Fewer people voted for Trump in 2024 than 2020, right? Am I making that up? Percentage of 2020 presidential voters who turned out to vote in 2024. Yeah, 89% of Trump 2020 voters turned out to vote. Were there still more? Did enough new people join the election? Wait, hold on. 2020 election results. 2024 election results. Presidential. I should put this. Fuck me. Trump got 74.2 million. What did he get in 2024? 2024 election result. All right, it's this right here. Oh, no, Trump did get more votes in 2024. Okay. That's crazy. I wonder how I don't know if anybody's ever done a study or if we'll ever figure it out, but like, I'm so curious if Trump could have won this election, how many people didn't vote for Trump because he demonized mail-in ballots so much? I wonder how many people out there couldn't make it to the polls for whatever reason that would have voted for Trump, that would have voted via a mail-in ballot if they hadn't spent so much time lying about them to try to set up the coup attempt. That I'm so curious about that, because I think it was 300,000 or 400,000 votes would have needed to change in order for Trump to win across the seven key states. It was about 300,000 or 400,000, I think. I doubt that 6 to 7 million lost votes. No, you only need a few hundred thousand. I think it was 330,000 or something. Do you think the Gaza genocide suppressed the turnout among Dems? I think the Israel-Palestine thing, I think there's a good argument that it cost Dems the election, but not with regards to like if the people that didn't vote there would have voted for Kamala, that it would have changed, but more so that so much of our media apparatus was hijacked by those people, and all of our conversations on the left were held hostage by those people, and it stole the oxygen out of the room from almost any other talking point. I think that was the major damaging thing.
Fuck farmers.
When you see, when you saw the, what was the name of the lady? Whitmer was the Michigan governor, right? when you saw her go, finally, these, like, some of the Democrats, remember what I said before, Republicans like to go onto media, okay, sorry, I have to repeat, I gotta be like Trump, repeat what I'm talking about. When Republicans go onto the media, okay, one, the media is already friendly towards them, because the media is biased towards Republicans, so we gotta be fair. So they're either on Republican media, where they're gonna dick suck them, or they're on liberal Democratic media, where they'll let them fuck them a little bit, because, you know, we were trying to show how fair and balanced we are, okay? After they do that, all the left is going to be responding to the attacks that the right has made. All the right people are going to be glazing the fuck out of the conservative, literally no matter what. If the conservative, was it Slotkin? No, I think it might have been Slotkin, the senator, not the governor. It might have been that. It might be who I'm thinking of. Senator or representative that went and talked to Crystal Ball. Who am I thinking of? Somebody just linked me the interview. I don't remember who it was now. It was a senator. Okay, thank you. Senator, yeah. Okay, then that was her. So the Republicans have the easiest time on the podcast circuit. They can go anywhere. They can get glazed by their side. The left is going to be responding to their attacks. It's going to be a favorable show. It's going to be great. And I always say the issue if you're on the left is, one, any show that you go on to is going to be challenging because they're always going to fucking hold you to account for fucking everything. Even the interview, that one that Kamala and Walz did at the table, was it a CNN one? I remember even that one was like pretty contentious. All the interviews are contentious. I remember at the debate, they asked Walz and they asked Vance a question. Like they were the same kind of question. And I feel like Walz got more shit for it. For Walz, it was like, was it the, you know, you were off on, it had to do with like the Tiananmen Square visit or whatever. And then for Walz, it was, or I'm sorry. And then for Vance, it was, oh fuck, what was it? Oh God, it's been so long now. I'm losing these memories. The Vance one was something crazy, and they treated these things like they were the same thing. Oh, it might have been making up the, it was either making up the cats and the dogs thing, or it was like, would you have certified the January 6th election? Would you have certified the election? It might have been that one. And the interviewer was treating these things like these were both like equally bad things. And it was like, Jesus Christ. So when you're on the left, no matter what platform you're on, it's going to be brutal. The Republicans are going to be constantly attacking you on everything you say. And your center left people are going to be like, are we being good enough? Are we being good enough? So you kind of get it from the center left, and the far left are going to be trashing the fuck out of you. And it's like, Jesus Christ. And I feel like one of the best examples of this was, yeah, you finally got a senator.
Joining us now is Senator Alyssa Slotkin.
From like a really important battleground state. And I think, there was something important coming up in the state as well. I don't remember. Or maybe it had already happened. Was it a Supreme Court election or something for the state? She comes on here and Crystal is grilling the fuck out of her in a battleground state on fucking Israel-Palestine and is being a bitch about it, being an asshole about it. And it's like...
younger voters and others.
Over, left.
She's like... Mm-hmm. It wasn't just like a few questions. It was like going into it and like... being really gross and nasty about it.
Crimes against innocent civilians.
I think the first thing, if you're asking about what to do with power, and I would offer that right now Democrats own nothing in Washington. So don't play powerless with me.
You're a United States senator. There are things I can do.
In terms of who runs our foreign policy, I just think it's interesting, right, that there was a ton of protests when Democrats were in charge.
There was a protest in Manhattan yesterday.
Okay. I think it's fair to say, just to be honest, that back and forth, like the number of protests.
Oh! She did it! She did it! She did it! Wait. Why don't I have a 6-7 soundboard? Did you guys see it? Whoa!
It's fair to say, just to be honest, but back and forth, like the number of protests that go on now.
I'm so sorry. I'm done.
Versus before.
Well, they were part of your political coalition.
Well, that's right? That's fair. Yeah. Obviously, I'm here.
Yeah.
I was very...
like, look at the two-sidesing of this. Where are all of your Palestinian protests against the fucking current administration? Seriously, go fuck yourself. What a gross... and, like, this is, like, a highly contentious, like, fucking battleground state, right? There's a lot of shit going on. And they're, like, gonna bring this up as an opportunity to point to one of the most divisive fucking... like, Dearborn population, everything. Like, this is where we're gonna fight about Israel-Palestine right now. Like, it's just so gross. Yeah. I don't know. This shit was just fucking annoying as fuck. Fuck. How did I get... I don't remember how I got sucked into this talking point. But the, yeah, fuck all the media shit on all of that. I can't believe that as soon as people started to try to like venture into the alternative left space, just people getting completely roasted and eaten alive by these far left tanky losers who have no desire for political power. What is this? Centrist Dems strike back with a new group. Ezra Klein's Abundance Movement is getting some backup. A new political group is urging Democrats to embrace pro-growth, deregulatory policies with an eye toward 2028, according to plans first shared with Axios. Known as Next American Era, the group is the latest effort by moderate Democrats to shape national politics and expand their influence at a time when progressives in the party are making an aggressive push for more power. Power? Yeah, where? Good economic policy is a good idea, but if Democrats want to address their electoral problems, what they need to do is have more moderate positions on questions related to race, crime, gender identity, and other cultural issues. This is probably true. There's like, here's the issue, okay? The issue is that do police officers help with crime? Like, do we need cops to do something about, like, crime? This is the position of the Democratic Party. It's like 90% of people are like, yeah. And then you've got this, like, 10% that are like, abolish the police or whatever. When Republicans talk about this issue, they invert it, and Republicans say, all the Democrats want to abolish crime. And almost none of them care about the cops, except for the super predator people, I guess, like, or not abolish crime, sorry, abolish the cops. So this is like the Republican version of the Democratic Party, right? This is the Republican framing. Yeah, I'm a great drawer. This is like reality. But then if you look at the left media, at least online, which is becoming unfortunate, well, I shouldn't say becoming, it now is kind of like in some ways more relevant than the other world. But then when you look at this stuff online, it's like all of them are abolish the police and all of them are like super anti-cop in like the most aggressive possible ways. I don't know what the fuck is going on here. I don't know what the fuck this is. You have most Democrats are in favor, like most Democrats, like most Democratic voters, right? So when you talk about positions on race, crime, gender identity, and other cultural issues, like most people don't believe in Zer, 72 pronouns. There is no such thing as a man or woman. Most people don't believe in this in the Democratic Party. But Republicans will make it sound like every Democrat wants to abolish women. And then when you go online on the far left spaces, you're getting people that are like attacking Gavin Newsom for having the most moderate position ever on trans stuff. Gavin Newsom breaks with Democrats on trans athletes in sports over remarks that he said with Charlie Kirk on his podcast. It's like, not really. His position here was like super. Most people will agree with this. Like, yeah, and especially once you're at college and greater levels, you probably shouldn't have trans athletes competing with cisgender athletes. It doesn't make any sense. I think the vast majority of people would agree with that. Even on the Democratic Party, the vast majority of people would agree with this. For voters. Okay. So this is like this is the world we have on the Democratic side. And then, I don't know. It's just fucked. I hate this. But it's going away. It's getting better. It's just taking longer than I wish it would, but it's going away. It's getting better. Like, we can't pretend that race and culture and all these things are completely and totally and utterly irrelevant. That's stupid. Nobody believes you, okay? And most people probably don't think of it that way. If you go to a neighborhood that used to be 99% white and now it's like 95% some other thing or whatever, right? Like, people are going to have a feeling about that. You can argue whether the feeling is fair or not. You can argue whether it's good or bad. You can have whatever. But like, you, at the very least, you need to incorporate this into how you approach people and how you think about things. If I want to play Ark Raiders for 16 hours on Saturday, Sunday, and I have a girlfriend, I know she's going to be pissed off, but I still want to play Ark Raiders, so I might make a compromise somewhere else. Listen, we'll go to whatever the fuck on Friday or Monday. We'll do this, okay? Because I know that I'm going to have to give something somewhere else because it's going to be a not popular thing to suggest for a relationship, right? Same thing with like crime, right? Like, nobody wants crime, okay? This is very boring, and you can try to mind fuck yourself into a million different ways, but the reality is there's a very basic thing where when you have more cops, you tend to get less crime. That's just true. I'm sorry. That's like an undeniable reality. That's just true. When you put more cops in an area, crime tends to decrease. Okay? We can talk about the balance. We can talk about fairness. And we can talk about things like cashless bail. We can talk about reform for different sentencing, how to do things with the prisons. These are good areas to spend your time. But pretending that less cops is better is not, that's just retarded. It's stupid. The gender identity thing is another thing where it's like, there's two genders. If you want to throw in your fucking non-binary, that's fine. Find ways to incorporate these people into your society and to, have their protections without trying to rewrite every other human being's understanding of everything. This is retarded. The thing is that these are fights that aren't even worth having because even your voters aren't on board with you, right? Like, compare this to something like pro-choice or abortion. Abortion is a highly contentious issue on the right, And that's an issue. I don't know how that plays with moderates, actually. I don't know where moderates' independence stand on. But like, that's an issue that's worth maybe fighting about, even if not all of your base is along for the ride on that one, even if there are moderates or whatever that may or may not be. Like, that's a moral issue that's super worth fighting about. But like, this shit, why would you fight against your base on it, too? Just like, pick... Just like, don't stop being fucking crazy over it. I don't know. Ugh. I thought Hassan was a 100K Andy. He was obviously being viewed by day one, right? I think people know that. But we've already talked about that. He's never going to split his streams. He has to keep his high Twitch viewership or he will kill himself. Would moderating even help? 60 to 70% of Dem politicians are moderates. With moderate rhetoric on these issues, the media environment is the reason for that dynamic, not policies. Yeah, sure, but just, like, it's easy if you have clear positions on them, because then the attack, you can just, like, whatever, you know? Neither populism nor abundance will cure this. You have to actually confront the core thing, because populism and abundance are both statements about material and economic things, but not really cultural things, right? That is, he's correct here. That is true.
I always tell people the day the Latino, African-American, Asian, and other communities realize that they share the same oppressor is the day we start winning. Because we are the majority in this country now. We have the ability to take over this country and to do what is needed for everyone.
Like, this is cancer rhetoric. This is Texas rep. That means state representative? Or is this representative from Texas?
And to make things fair. But the problem is our communities are divided. They're completely divided. And I talk about this. I always tell people.
He's a state rep. Oh, okay. But I mean, like, this type of rhetoric is fucking cancer, right? Yeah. I'm 5 minutes behind, but you want to be that show, right? The place Dems could go to push their message without unfair bad faith pushback. I do more like digging or drilling. I'm more interested in the discrete, like, autistic nuances. I'm thinking more places like Mockler's good. Brian Tyler Cohen is good. David Pakman is probably good. Like, these types of places should be getting more of those high level political people than like fucking Breaking Points. Absolutely. I'm concerned that there's nothing to be done about the positions being misconstrued, because as long as there's a media machine that shows Democrats as unhinged leftists, it's impossible. I mean, like, to some extent, you're right, right? Republicans will always try to do this fucking game. They'll never stop. They'll always keep doing this game. But you can take a little bit of the wind out of their sails by not having so many people who are reluctant to say something against it, you know?
Party, in this case, the Republican Party, when it comes to the voters in Congress. And of course, a 4-point lead among non-college voters is not anywhere close to being good enough, because Democrats are dominating among voters with a college degree, up by 20 points. At this point, the Democratic base with college voters is rising, and the Republican base with non-college voters is collapsing.
One of the big promises, when it, circling back to the economy, one of the big promises from President Trump was bringing back manufacturing jobs. And that speaks to somewhat of the split that you're kind of highlighting here.
I wish the Democrats would fight more, too. I think this guy's rhetoric is stupid. This, like, the anti-white or the white versus whatever framing. This is so dumb. This stuff, though, as Attorney General, I want to see Gene for Texas denaturalized. Every single interview he goes to, he should be getting grilled until he's too ashamed to show his face publicly, and maybe his children have to leave the country. Statements like this are so far beyond the pale, you should be humiliated and should never want to show your face in publicly, at least in political life, ever again. I'm sorry, you want to talk about denaturalizing U.S. citizens? This is an insane statement. Like, every single debate, every single conversation, every single interview should be, I just want to talk to you today about what you think the process or the qualification should be to strip people of their citizenship. But nobody will ever attack, because nobody's ever on the attack for these people. And as soon as they get attacked, they don't go on those platforms anymore because they're fucking pussies. Yeah, Trump's statements about wanting to denaturalize and deport Ilhan Omar is also crazy. And all the, yeah, it's not good. Also, where are we at for, we should have, like, a live fucking measles tracker. Holy fucking shit. Holy fucking shit. Was it the CDC or who made it? Somebody made an announcement yesterday or the day before where they were like, please, for the love of fucking God, take your measles vaccines, guys. I think that people think that measles is like a, is measles a coronavirus? What is this? I think that people think measles is like chicken pox. It's not. Oh, it's not a coronavirus. I thought coronaviruses were called that way because the top looks like a whatever the fuck a corona is. I don't know. Maybe this isn't even a picture of the measles virus. I don't know. That retard Joe Rogan actually thought that? Oh my God. He did say that. He said he used to have measles parties as a kid.
This bums me out, but some things. Here is Rogan talking about measles when he was a kid. Rogan was born in, hold on, the analysis. Okay, check it out.
Was you get this included, speaking of the current thing,
which is an infection that everyone got when I was a kid. And what happened was you'd get sick for a few days and then you'd be immune for life.
Yep.
Yeah. And they were making it look like everyone's dying from measles. Like, no, if you're dying from measles, you're sick. You're already compromised, which is exactly what happened with COVID, where 90%+ of the people who died had 4+ comorbidities.
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
Which is why it was such a red pill for me, because I was like...
And like so much of what it was just said here was fucking retarded. Like, it's just like, this is an unpalatable level of retarded statements. All the people dying from COVID had comorbidities. Obesity is a comorbidity. Like, half the American population is obese. Is that like, imagine 100 million people die of a disease. Like, well, they all had comorbidities. What a stupid fucking statement. What a stupid fucking statement to make. And then, yeah, conflating measles with chicken pox. Measles! Sorry.
But yeah, apparently we had another big measles outbreak yesterday. Is it? Oh, this one's today. There are at least 20 confirmed cases of measles at Ave Maria University in Southwest Florida. Take the vaccine, please. A top U.S. health official says in an appeal as measles cases rise. A leading U.S. health official on Sunday urged people to get inoculated against the measles at a time of outbreaks across several states and as the United States is at risk of losing its measles elimination status. Take the vaccine, please, said Dr. Mehmet Oz, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services administrator, whose boss has raised suspicion about the safety and importance of vaccines. We have a solution for our problem. Oz, a heart surgeon, defended some recently revised federal vaccine recommendations, as well as past comments from President Donald Trump and the nation's health chief, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., about the efficacy of vaccines. From Oz, there was a clear message on the measles. Not all illnesses are equally dangerous, and not all people are equally susceptible to those illnesses, he told CNN State of the Union. But measles is one you should get your vaccine for. Crazy that you can't just selectively undermine entire parts of medicine and expect people to take the other parts seriously. I think that I just solved this problem. I'm a fucking genius. Wait a second. First a question, and then the genius suggestion. If you opt out of being an organ donor, are you able to receive donated organs? Yes? Oh, fuck. Wait, why? Are you at least, do you get like priority or something? I feel like they should have that list should be, it's low priority. In America, yes, but in other countries, it's different. Fuck, okay. I think that those should map onto each other. If you're not willing to be an organ donor, you don't get to be an organ recipient. Or at the very least, you get put way on the fucking bottom of the list. I think that we should have, all the vaccines should be suggested or whatever, the old vaccine schedule. And if you want to opt out, then you can opt out of those vaccines. But you opt out of certain treatment options as well, or you get shoved way the fuck down on the list. So if you want to opt out of the measles vaccine for your child, you have the option to do that. But then that opt out means that you also consent to excluding yourself from hospital treatment for said illness, unless you have to pay an exorbitant amount of money or some bullshit. And I think that then all these problems solve themselves. It's so retarded. Fucking measles, bro. Oh, I also like that the Democratic Party has now gotten on board fully with, I feel like they've co-opted all the pro-America messaging. I didn't watch this shit or whatever. I'm not saying this shit because I don't like it. I'm saying it because I don't care about any of it, not because it was bad or whatever. But it seems like they're doing a good job at the whole like America and we're America and we all love America and blah, 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 rather than like, fuck America and fuck these conservatives, you know? I think they've done a good job at transitioning over into that like pro-America messaging.
God bless America! Sea Chile, Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay, Bolivia, Peru, Ecuador, Brasil, Colombia, Venezuela, Guyana, Panama, Costa Rica.
Is this the Bad Bunny guy? Link me a Bad Bunny song. Have I heard a Bad Bunny song before? Link me a song that I've like, oh, like this isn't the Despacito guy, I'm pretty sure. What's like the most popular Bad Bunny song? Yes, but they're all in Spanish. 1.7 billion views. God damn! As of February 5th, 2026, 733 confirmed measles cases were reported in the U.S. What were the numbers like for 2025? A total of 2,276 confirmed measles cases were reported. Yearly measles cases. Why were there so many in 2019? What the fuck happened here?
This isn't... I don't know how I'm feeling about this one, Chief. Because this is 1 month and 1 week right here. This could theoretically get like 9 or 10 times bigger. Like it could be 2x this if it stays on course.
Hmm.